Good evening. Welcome to the Safety Committee meeting for the June 24th, 2019. Members of the committee who are in attendance are myself, Mark Fry, as chair, Mrs. Westfall, Mr. Hanem, and Mr. Lukey. Also in attendance is council member Mrs. Hussman. We also have in attendance the media and a number of interested community parties, and Mrs. Julie Hoffman, who is a member of the Sylvania School Board, and I'll ask her to speak here in a few minutes to some items. The first thing I wanted to point out for the record is that this is not a conversation about whether or not drug testing of students is appropriate or inappropriate, whether it's effective or ineffective. That determination was made by the school board and is in the school board's purview. What is under consideration this evening is a possible ordinance that Mr. Hanem put in front of council, and then which was moved to this committee to discuss the parental rights regarding the testing, the drug testing of minors, and whether or not that's appropriate, and from the standpoint of providing parental notification. So with that preface, Mr. Hanem, if you don't mind, I know that you provided a modification to the potential ordinance.
Let me just suggest that in drafting the ordinance, since I drafted the ordinance, or when I reflected on the ordinance that I drafted, let's leave it at that. I concluded that the penalty provision in that I proposed in 573121D was probably harsher than it needed to be, and actually probably inappropriate. So I did talk with one other council member who had urged me to draft this in the first place, and we're in agreement that we will move to amend Section D, which will change the penalty provision to provide that whoever violates the section is guilty of a minor misdemeanor, which means that it's subject to a maximum of $100 fine. I never intended to for anyone to be heavily fined or sent to jail. That was not the purpose. The purpose of this was to state clearly what council and the city of Sylvania thought about parents and guardians being present during the drug testing of minors. And so that's so we will offer that amendment at our next council meeting when we do, prior to doing the third reading of the ordinance. And then it'll be up to council to decide whether A, to accept the amendment, as well as whether, but rather we would accept the ordinance itself. But the but I did hand out to the committee members that were here tonight copies of the revised ordinance reflecting the amendment, and I will share that with the law director and the rest of council after tonight's meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Hanem. For the record, if you will, I'll read the revised ordinance into the record. 537.21 parental rights relating to drug testing minors. No person, Section A, no person shall collect urine or other samples from any minor for the purposes of conducting a drug test except when the parent or legal guardian of the specific minor from whom the sample is to be collected is present. to observe the sample collection process. B, no person shall collect urine or other samples from a minor for the purposes of conducting a drug test without providing the parent or legal guardian of the specific minor from whom the sample is to be collected no less than 30 days actual notice in advance of the time that the sample is to be collected. If the parent or guardian cannot be present at the time initially proposed for collecting the sample, the person proposing to collect the sample shall reschedule the sample collection with the parent or guardian of the minor from whom the sample is to be collected to a mutually agreeable time after the time initially proposed. C, the section will have no application to the execution of a properly served warrant issued by a duly constituted court of the United States or the state of Ohio. And section D, which is the section that Mr. Hainem mentioned with the modification, whoever violates this section is guilty of a minor misdemeanor, not a first degree misdemeanor. For that purpose, I would also, before I ask Mrs. Hoffman to describe some things that that the schools have been working on, are there any comments from other members of council prior to calling on Mrs. Hoffman?
Mark, please. You know, as I mentioned, I think you circulated earlier today a draft or some proposed amendments to the policy, and if I read the school board site properly, the board has adopted some amendments that were different than the ones you circulated. So if you could clarify that for us, I'd appreciate that. When you address, yeah.
Please. So just as a little more context, I had a few conversations with Mrs. Hoffman regarding in preparation for this meeting so that she was aware of what was going on and informed her that I would be calling on her this evening to kind of walk through the school board's policy and to address some of the modifications that are under consideration by the school board. And with that, I would ask you to, obviously, for the record, identify yourself, even though I've done so, and then address some of those, and then we'll open it up for some questions. Thank you.
I'm confused. I'm frequently confused by your website, but it says that recommended for board approval, motion by Jim Nussbaum, seconded by Julie Hoffman, final resolution, motion passed. And yes, Hoffman, Nussbaum, that's not.
I'm not sure what you're.
This is from your website. That's a printout. Oh, no, I know. I'm sorry. From the board website. At the May 28th meeting, you didn't pass this? Yeah, this is a printout from your website. Okay, so you didn't adopt this.
So, no.
Okay.
We had a first reading. The point was to clarify, first of all, the dress code. We have a dress code in school, so we clarify it to make it clear that no student will be expected to disrobe for drug testing or anything else in schools, but for the drug testing. So we clarified that. And then we added what would happen if a student is unable to produce a sample, whether physically or just they have anxiety and they're unable to produce a sample, that you can do an oral swab. That the drug testing companies will bring oral swabs in for those students. So no one has to sit out of class for 2 hours and be isolated and have to drink soda or water or whatever. They'll just get a swab into their mouth and then off back.
Julie, I have a quick question for you. It seems to me that there was some conversation around, I don't remember the exact words, around some kind of a revisiting of the policy, the school board revisiting this policy. I don't know if there's a timeline, if there's anything documented anywhere, anything like that.
Yeah, we did have discussed it, probably that we need to refer to, and we had some minor changes, so it says that we had in the oral swab, that was in there at that time, that, you know, this policy was going to affect that. And, you know, once we let it be in effect for a few months, there may be things to work out. I mean, we amend policies all the time when things come up. So, you know, maybe in January, and this is not that early, but if things come before us that we're, you know, detecting on issue, then we could amend them after talking to our high school principals and our athletic directors and, you know, people in the schools that are administering the test. Then, yes, we would certainly revisit it.
Julie, if I may, just a point of clarification. I didn't have the benefit of looking at the district website today. What is the status of this policy? Has it been approved in some form already by the board?
Yes.
Okay, so what you're talking about then is some modifications.
Yes.
Got it, thank you.
And that'll be for final.
Okay, thank you.
I know they passed it in April.
Yeah.
I was at their website today. I'm confused, but I'm sure she knows what they did. I don't doubt about that. The website was just confusing.
Yeah, I think the meeting you're talking about in April, what that vote was.
No, this was the May 28th. This was from the May 28th site.
So in May, that was in our meeting here, where there was an question about the closing, whether, you know, people would have to disrobe if they were wearing that sweater. And so I don't even know if it's going to be considered an amendment, just a clarification. You know, you've added the language, privacy will be respected.
Well, this was an amendment. This represented to be an amendment. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter. I'm just saying I was confused.
So in your mind, these modifications obviously are still, to some extent, in draft form, will be considered by the board. Just so I understand the mechanical process, the timing of consideration and potential approval by the board is what?
Right.
So,
right, the policy's already been approved. So
right.
If we didn't approve these amendments, we still have the policy in its original form.
Understand.
So, these amendments I would expect to be approved on Wednesday.
Okay. Okay. And then it would go into effect with the new school year starting in August. Okay.
Any as long as you're here, how do you understand the post initial positive result process where a student will have to submit 5 follow-up school drug tests at the expense of the parent before they can return to their activity? How is that going to work? Have you? Right. It says in order for participation and privileges to be reinstated after the 20% penalty, the student must submit consecutive 5 follow-up school drug tests at times to be determined by the district at the expense of a parent, guardian, custodian with no positive results. So if they have a positive result, do they need those 5 tests before they're reinstated? or do they get reinstated and have the five tests over a period of?
Well, it says to be reinstated, they have to submit, so to be reinstated after the 20% loss, they would have to submit. I think what, if I understand what they're asking, then they're asking, so they test positive on December 1st.
Right.
And then the penalty goes into effect, and they submit a drug test on December 20th, or do they have to wait until after the 20%?
What I'm asking is, okay, to use your example. Say a wrestler tests positive for marijuana on December 1st. So you put the, so, yes, they have three matches and the next, you know, 20% of the matches happen in the next 2 weeks. Okay. Before he can be reinstated, during that two-week time period, does he have to have five drug tests?
No, it's supposed to be determined by the district. So that's going to be determined at the school level when they're going to say, okay, you know, give us, he's going to hopefully get into treatment or get some sort of referral.
Right. I'm assuming he opts in to get the 20% thing. Okay, so he gets into that. He agrees to that. Okay, he agrees to do that. And then, is he reinstated when the 20% of his competition is up? I mean, if marijuana stays in your system for 30 days and he smoked it on November 30th, he's not going to be able to pass five clean drug tests until a lot longer after that.
Okay.
I understand that. So the 20% rule, so it's what will drive this will be the five tests, not the 20% rule. Not the 36 days, but when you can pass those five tests.
Right. And to be clear, during that time, that student is still allowed to come to practice and be part of the team. He's just not participating in games or matches.
Where is that? Because I didn't understand that either, reading the policy. It says that he will be... And I heard this at the parent meeting too, and I didn't understand it. It said the student shall not participate in any covered activity for one calendar year. However, students who elect to receive professional assessment and assistance will be not denied participation in 20% of each covered activity and will not be allowed to attend the next school-sponsored dance. So that's a denied participation in 20%. So if you're in a school play, okay, that 20% is 36 days.
Well, yeah, I would say if you're a school
Do you get to practice school. For the play?
Yes, but if you're in a school play and it's got five, you know, there's four performances, they're going to miss 20% of those performances.
Not 36 days. It says 20% of the current season. Okay, I'm just, as long as you're doing amendments, okay, I'd urge you to look at that and clarify that, because I think it's pretty unclear, because as I read, when I, and you know, you're a lawyer, I'm a lawyer, two of your, okay, but which means you write and that's my point with this. I think it's unclear as to what that means. For example, I know the athletic director said that a football player who tested positive would be able to practice for even if he was missing the games. Okay, as I read this, it says you're out of the activity. That's what it says.
And I understand what you're saying, though, but when the athletic director is saying that, remember, they have a lot of experience with this because it closely follows our code of conduct. So kids that are caught at a party where there's alcohol are COVID. And then they have these things. So I believe the people in the school that are administering these, you know, the penalties, they do know exactly how to do it. To be clear, I'm not in a those that are know how to administer it. So when they're saying that, you know, these kids can still participate in practices, that's because that's what we already do in Dakota County.
Yeah, well, and you understand why I don't think that's what the policy says. Policy doesn't say that. Policy says something exactly the opposite. And, you know, you would assume that what you adopt is what you mean.
If I think the policy's fair, that's how I understand the policy.
Okay.
Just to interject, I understand your concerns about those sections, Mr. Hanum, but we're getting a little off topic in regards to...
Here's why we aren't.
Okay, fair enough.
Because these are serious consequences. As a community, we spend a lot of money on these extracurricular activities. We have identified them as valuable educational resources, or we wouldn't support them. And now we're going to take kids out of them as a consequence of failing one of these drug tests.
And so
that it's the seriousness of the crime, the seriousness of the penalty, rather, which I think warrants a parent's involvement, an opportunity to consult with a minor, a 15 or 16-year-old kid, before he submits to this drug test. I think that's entirely relevant to what we're considering, because if the result was, if you failed the drug test, you got counseling, that's a totally different thing. But it's not that. If you fail this drug test, you're excluded from activities which we as a community have determined are important to the overall educational process, and we're going to take you out of those. And I know you don't want to talk about a lot of the stuff that Mrs. Gomba shared with us. But, you know, one of the things that's in there is the discussion about the harmful impacts of removing students at risk from extracurricular activities. And that's what this policy proposes.
And I understand your point, Mr. Hanum. What I would suggest is that if Dr. Gombash has those levels of concerns, she can go to the school board and address those levels of concerns directly to the elected officials in our community who are empowered to handle those issues.
I absolutely agree. Absolutely agree. That's not what we're here to consider. What we're here to consider is whether we ought to require that a parent be available to consult with their minor child prior to submitting themselves to the drug test.
And I agree with that, absolutely, but
that's directly relevant to, and so the harm that can come from that drug test is directly relevant to what we're considering.
This is an opportunity for me to raise a concern that I have with this that I was going to bring up at some point, but it sort of naturally popped up here. The policy, Doug, the ordinance that you drafted has a 30-day notification for a parent. I am not going to be cynical about that 30 days, but it seems like it has the net effect of negating any possible drug testing that would be taken after that point, right? 30 days I don't understand the selection of 30 days.
Let me explain that, and
I understand the parents are busy, and they might be out of town, and there's a single-parent family going on, or any of those kinds of issues, but I would imagine that any parent who was invited to an honor ceremony giving a state award to their student wouldn't require 30 days to be there.
No, it's on the calendar 48, now.
Well, okay, but I'm not understanding what the 30-day piece is, as opposed to 48 hours, right?
Or 2 weeks,
What is your rationale?
People who work, you know, for example, my daughter's in retail. Her schedule is set 2 weeks out.
Okay, that's not 30 days.
No, it's not. But, you know, and 30 days wasn't arbitrary.
No, but I assume not. What was your thought?
My thought was to give people sufficient notice to arrange their schedules to be there. If you want to propose a shorter period of time, I'd be happy to consider that.
No, I'm just asking why 30 days sounds like it was, to me, specifically designed to negate the policy.
Well, I think any notice, no. I think you would take the same position.
Yeah.
But if it makes you feel better, you know, I mean, I'd amend it. 14 days would be fine too.
I don't. Well,
if that would eliminate your concern, you know, I'd certainly entertain that.
That 2 weeks doesn't either. Actually, I think any parent in this community, whether they call in sick, or ask for a vacation day, or have another spouse or another relative cover the test, doesn't require 2 weeks.
I think you're.
No, and I am living in the
I don't. No, I don't think you are. And you know what? And I think if you think about what's on the other side of Interstate 23 and the people who live and work at hourly jobs, mm-hmm. they don't have the flexibility to just not show up for work. They don't show up for work, they lose their job, or more importantly, they just don't get paid. And that's not, you know, we're not, particularly the city, our city population doesn't all live the life that you and I do.
I don't need to have you tell me about our citizens.
Well, I don't. But your idea, the idea that 48 hours would allow any parent to get off from work to show up at for this event, I think, is not accurate.
Can I just clarify, parental notification is not part of any amendment?
No, I understand.
Right. Mrs. Hussman, you've been quiet, but you look like you're...
I am not on this committee.
But I want to give you the opportunity to ask questions and have voice.
I have one statement, and it's that this is school board business, not city council's, and it has nothing to do when we were talking about Doug's ordinance. Now, we've kind of gotten back to Doug's ordinance a little bit, but this whole thing, Dr. Gombosh, you should be taking all the information you're sending to City Council to the Board of Education. Any other person that has issues with this policy should be going to the Board of Education. We are not qualified. We were not elected to be in charge of this situation. There, you can read all you want. The school board is responsible for this, and that's where their responsibility lies with the school board to execute it, to take care of it. We can nitpick this as much as we want, but it is not why we were elected to city council. They were elected to the school board to do just that.
Okay, and I'll just point out that if the school board adopted a policy of caning students.
If
the school board adopted a policy of caning students who failed the drug policy through the drug test, as a city council, we would have every interest in the world in defining caning as an assault. The ordinance that I've proposed does not, number one, does not prohibit drug testing, and it does not impact on the school's ability to declare who can and cannot participate in their extracurricular activities. That's up to them. What the policy provides is that before a minor student is required to submit, if I could finish, I let you finish, Sandy. Could you let me finish?
If I already know what you're saying.
Well, good. Then I'm not just speaking to you. Before a minor student submits to a drug test which has serious consequences for the student, I think it's appropriate that they have an opportunity to consult with their parent about that. That would be appropriate. If the parent has to be there at the time of the drug testing, the 16-year-old can look to mom or dad and get guidance before they take what could be a life-altering drug test. And one of the things that's in the materials that Ms. Gombesh, Dr. Gombesh shared with us are examples of life-altering results from negative drug tests. Those are documented in these materials. So, and that's why those materials, well, I agree, they should, you know, they're appropriate for the school board to consider. They're also relevant to our consideration of our role in protecting the interests of parents and their minor children from when they're engaged in a very serious and potentially life-changing activity, which would be the administration of a random drug test.
Mr. Hanum, I think I understand what you're saying. I think it's important also to mention, as I understand it, Mrs. Hoffman, that parental consent to submit for this is required in advance. So the parents sign off to say
that they understand if their child participates in these activities,
that they are open to potentially being pulled. You did. And I just wanted to point that out, that that was part of the school board's, and I'm assuming that was part, as I recall, that was part of the current policy.
Yeah, there's no change to that.
Okay. So there already is notice to the parents or the guardians of the individual students, and that has already been signed off by those parents. Now, I understand that from your perspective, Mr. Hanum, that may not be sufficient, but that is in fact part of this policy.
One of the things that's addressed in this policy, in these documents, is the, if you will, the Superman syndrome of adolescence, that you know, they don't believe any of this is going to happen to them. So, you know, you're 15, 16, or 14, 15, 16 years old, and you don't think this is ever going to happen to you. I'm not making this up. You know, I mean, it's documented in the materials. And so that consent which is given in August, okay, now when it comes home in January, okay, is a totally different thing. And the ability of an adolescent to draw on that previous discussion they had with his parents back in August, when he wasn't paying attention anyway, really is not very significant. You know, it's when the student is confronted with the reality that now you're going to be tested. The other thing, excuse me, the other thing that, you know, it's the same with it, with the, and it also goes to the, I mean, it talks about that as a deterrent too. You know, this is, you know, everything we hear, you know, all these policies suggest this doesn't work. One of the reasons it doesn't work is because students don't believe it's ever going to happen to them. Okay, so when it does, it's a shock. It's something they didn't anticipate. It's something they didn't they did not put into their calculus when they were, you know, experimenting with alcohol on a Friday night after a football game.
And I respect your thought process on that. And we were all adolescents at one time. I have a vague recollection of it myself, and
mine
I understand
was a very long time ago.
The Superman syndrome that you're referring to, but the school board members are the ones who are empowered to do this and to deal with those issues along with the administrative staff. We, I believe, have made some comments back to the school board. I think that the school board has made some adjustments to the policy to make it less problematic, at least from my personal perspective. And I guess that's appreciated at least by me as a member of council, and the fact that you made those modifications, or at least you're in the process of making those modifications.
Yeah, I mean, as I told you, that had not been contemplated at all. So
understand.
When you brought up that, I mean, absolutely, that's something that we should address.
You know, and I too appreciate the proposed changes. I think it improves the amendments. You know, I'm glad I was able to have the opportunity to bring those things to your attention, then we could fix them. I think that's a positive part of this process. But that still doesn't ameliorate entirely my concerns.
Mrs. Westphal.
So, thank you, Mr. Fry. Mr. Hanum, I always value your passion on many issues that we face here at council. Dr. Gombosh, I think that your data was certainly very compelling, and I hope that at some point you will have the opportunity to share that with the Board of Education members, which is the right place for that information to be. I find it very interesting that we here at our Sylvania City Council meetings are addressing these issues when Sylvania school parents are not knocking down the doors of the Board of Education members and really saying, we want to speak to you about this policy, we want change in this policy. I find it interesting that we're spending more time in discussion on the right and wrong of this than parents are. I do agree completely with what Sandy and Mrs. Huston said. This is not our issue. We are a legislative body, but we were elected to oversee the issues that are facing the city of Sylvania. This, in my opinion, is a Board of Education issue, and it's something that we should not be dabbling in. We do not have the expertise. We were not voted or elected into office to do this job. So I would say, again, I always value Mr. Hanum's passion, but from my viewpoint, this is not something that I would like to see move forward.
Just the mechanics going forward. This has been the committee. We've had a hearing on it. The school board is going to consider these modifications on Wednesday. How do members of the safety committee want to proceed from here?
I can only give you my thoughts, not to tell the group what to do. But first of all, it is, I think, unfortunate that we have two members of council not attending tonight. I know Mrs. Capellini had a conflict that sounded fairly pressing. I'm not quite sure about Mr. Richardson, but I would be in response to suggestions by folks that I encounter in the community. I'm not terribly enthusiastic about just tabling it here tonight and not letting it go to council. I think this is a big enough community issue that we should give all seven of our council members an opportunity to vote. You can have a different opinion. You're the chairman. If you want to do something differently, that's fine. However, I personally have a little, nothing serious, we love you all, but I'm not sure I'm terribly happy with the way the district seemed to have handled this. I personally don't think it's a very well-written policy, and I personally am a little concerned about how transparent you were, because I don't know how many public meetings you had about this, how many parent meetings you had about this. I was unaware of it until Mr. Hanum's ordinance came up in council, to be honest with you. So that notwithstanding that, you can comment if you want to. I mean, I'm curious why Dr. Gombosh didn't come to one of your meetings and present her data there, for example.
I've never heard from Dr. Gombosh.
Yeah, I know you haven't.
I'm not aware of having my colleagues have.
Yeah, I know. I mean,
honestly, most of the people that I heard from were in favor of it and
yeah.
In favor of the policy and
yeah.
Supportive of the policy.
But is it true that you really didn't have a public meeting about this other than your board meeting?
Yeah, we had it at two board meetings.
Yeah.
When we discussed it at 1-4, it came up for a first read. We discussed it. I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
Okay.
People don't come to our meetings.
Okay.
I don't happen to believe that our website is hard to navigate.
Yeah. Look, I'm not going to, that's not my point, and I'm not going to argue that point. All I know is that when we have an issue that we know is going to have a broad public interest, we promote it heavily so that people come and tell us about that, right? So maybe you did that. Maybe I missed it.
Right. But even from that, once it hit Facebook and it was on social media and, you know, I was watching everybody talk about it, still we really didn't get anybody in our meeting
okay.
to talk about it. Or emailing, I mean, I don't care what emailing my colleagues, I don't believe so. I mean, I know one of my colleagues got an email, and we each got some, you know, randomly, but I really didn't receive any negative emails saying, don't do this.
Okay.
I mean, for instance, this ordinance that Mr. Hayden put forth, I found out from one of my colleagues. Like, that wasn't promoted even to us.
I sent it. That's because I sent it to him. I sent it to Steve knowing, because first of all, I didn't have all your email addresses, and I knew Steve well, and I knew he would forward it immediately, and that's exactly what he did. And I did that in advance of any public, of bringing it before council. The school board knew about it before the rest of the council knew about it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, look. That's not my point. Okay.
Okay, Mr. Lukey, if you could. It seems like you were headed in a certain direction about putting this in front of council.
And I obviously didn't mean to offend Julie about not being public about this.
Well, I mean, I guess my question, you know, after the meeting, the first meeting I attended here, and you know that was spoken. I mean, you know, Mark, you've been on school.
Mm-hmm.
Peanuts and tree nut allergies, which is very important.
Yeah. No, okay, look, I get that.
I mean, what are you suggesting we do to get these policies out? I mean, would you like me to send them to you?
I would say that if there is a constituency for having an opinion other than yours about nut policies, I think... I bet you did. I think that probably the ability to have post and promote a public meeting to discuss nut policies would be best practices for a public body. I'm not suggesting that's you, but I think that's just, we try to do that here, and I think I've seen that happen effectively elsewhere. That's not my point. Let me make my point, okay? I do believe in talking with a couple of superintendents in Lucas County and some staff members at some of our other conference schools that this is a policy that has been adapted there without incident for a number of years. So we're far from being at the forefront of this. I think the parents that the superintendent characterized to me were generally for it. Teachers and staff are definitely for it. So I have to believe, I believe you and I believe them, that that is sort of the way this is being accepted in Lucas County. Okay, that piece number one. Secondly, I do agree with, I believe Mrs. Westfall, that this is a bit of a prerogative that does not belong at City Council. I mean, I do not believe that one elected body should try to regulate another elected body, right? I'm very concerned that the potential for legal action against the city exists. Your attorney was polite but firm in saying that this has been litigated up and through the courts and been upheld each time. And I am not interested in having the city be party to a litigation to defend this that will cost us time and dollars. So I think that not only do I feel that it's our role, but I think that there could be some unintended consequences that I'm not prepared to support, okay? So, Mr. Fry, with that in mind, and with what I said about the fact that I really do believe the entire council should vote on this, I would be prepared to perhaps send it to council with a recommendation that it be defeated. There, that I'm told by our law department that is totally within our ability to do. And there may be a different way to handle this. I would prefer that that's the most respectful of our colleagues to do that.
I support that as well.
Mr. Lukey. So is that a motion?
Well, I can make that a motion, sure.
I guess I want to make sure that the other members of Safety Committee are comfortable with that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you can kill it in this committee. I don't think that's our prerogative.
We could table it.
You could table it, but it's already on the agenda. We've had two readings. I don't think you can table it here under Robert's rules.
So we have to vote it up?
I read a little of that today, by the way. I think your recommendation, you know, if that's the recommendation of the committee, that's appropriate, you know. But so that's fine.
So you're...
The motion is that we move it to City Council's agenda at the July meeting with a recommendation from the committee that it be defeated.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those committee members in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
No.
I'll poll the group.
I voted no.
I understand. Mr. Lukey?
Yes.
I vote, Mr. Fry votes yes. Mrs. Westfall?
Yes.
Mr. Hanen?
No.
Okay, so it'll go to City Council with a vote of three, a recommendation to not move forward with the with the potential ordinance.
Can I ask Julie's understanding about that process? I mean, I think that probably throws a little bit of a speed bump in your ability to implement this by pushing it out 3 weeks, but I think it's the appropriate thing for us to do. Okay.
And we certainly appreciate you coming and listening and informing us of the modifications that are under consideration by the school board and the working together in regards to that. Is there any other business that needs to come before the committee? Hearing none, do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Do it second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. We're adjourned at 7:48.